This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stand by. The vacuum tubes are warming up. This is a special live broadcast right here on Georgia Radio.
Well, here we are. You've joined us once again, and we appreciate it here on GeorgiaRadio.com. And you're listening to me, Wade, with Matt Jolly and the Georgia Folk and Farm Life radio show brought to you by Meek Brothers Cattle Company.
Is there something you want to tell us?
About what?
Well, I mean, I'm just asking. I mean, is Wade Peebles really your name?
No, I'm actually a Norwegian minister.
You're Austin Brinch.
And I also have a line of microwave popcorn. So,
I love that it says here that he is a part-time minister in Norway who enjoys playing the piano, especially ragtime. And he
God loves ragtime.
He looks just... He looks just like this song,
I can't even play the piano. I've got a Steinway sitting right there. I can't play one note on it. But
I mean, look at
being
that.
When I'm a Norwegian minister over there in Norway, in Norwegia or wherever that is, I'm a piano player.
Play Sweet ragtime. Georgia Brown.
God loves ragtime.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He sure does. He does. That and Sacred Harp. Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, Faye and Brock came across this picture. That looks a lot like Wade Peebles. I wonder if we could have Austin Brinch on the show. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Or the popcorn guy.
Reach out to him. Yeah. And when I mentioned the popcorn, there's also a brand of microwave popcorn that everybody thinks I look like the guy on there. So I feel sorry for these people. I feel sorry for the popcorn guy. And I know I feel sorry for the Norwegian minister who...
The part-time Norwegian minister who plays ragtime piano.
Yeah, the part-time Norwegian minister ragtime player. So.
Yeah.
Did you ever see, you know, most people were not aware of ragtime and like Scott Joplin music until the movie...
The Sting.
The Sting. And then what was there was another movie... I can't remember the name of it, but it made ragtime music popular. I remember in college we had to read the book and write a report on it, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, the other movie. Well, it's good music. I enjoy it. And good old ragtime piano. You do. You have a Steinway upright grand in your sitting room.
That's right.
Your front parlor.
It holds the TV up.
So I was over there visiting with Wade the other day, and I noticed that he has this new piano that Sister Connie gave him. And I said, wow, Wade, what a beautiful Steinway. Do you play? No. Have I ever shown you my banjo? Well, yeah. Do you play, though? No. So...
At one time, I told Matt, the other day, I said, at one time I had a piano, I had trombone, saxophone, all vintage instruments, fiddles, four-string and five-string banjos, guitars, I had flutes and clarinets, I had just about every vintage instrument there was, but I couldn't play any of them.
Wade Peebles, collector of fine instruments.
Yeah, I could have equipped a band, but I couldn't play any of it.
Well,
my sister makes up for it. She's does. Good. She is very.
And
good.
She's the reason you have a Steinway, not just a run of the mill spinet, but a Steinway.
She had a
Cadillac.
I think it was the 1880s Steinway Grand when she lived in Kansas City, but she sold it. It was a beautiful piano. She sold it because she didn't want to have to haul it back to Georgia with everything. So she's had some beautiful pianos, and I tell you what, she amazes me when she sits down to play how beautiful the music she produces is.
I would agree. Good stuff. Well, that Steinway in your front parlor there
Yeah.
is very nice.
in the front room. The front room.
Speaking of front rooms.
Go ahead. Yes.
No, speaking of front rooms, we want to invite everybody to the front room there at New Beginnings in Christ on March the 11th, right?
Yes. And, it's going to be here before you know it. And I should be talking more about it. And we had. And I need to start this week reminding everybody because that's just a few basically like I'm just over a month away. And so it's going to be a good time. If you're not, our annual gathering. And this year combined with my 15th sobriety and a birthday anniversary, whatever you want to call it, will be celebrated that day too there at New Beginnings in Christ. We're going to have good food, fellowship, good music. We're going to have a great time. And I hope you can come.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be fun.
Down there at New Beginnings in Christ.
It's going to be a fundraiser for New Beginnings in Christ, and everybody's giving to. And I want to mention something else, Matt. Chris Adams, our friend Chris, who's a great young man and does so much. He's just committed his life to just goodness and learning and educating about our culture, our history here in Georgia. And he's immersed himself in it in a way that very few can or would. And he went with a friend of his the other day to rescue an orphan lamb, and they had an accident, and he lost his pickup. So I asked if our members could help out, and I haven't mentioned, on here, but the response has been a beautiful thing. I forwarded the checks last week, got some more together today from the post office, and we'll be forwarding those to him in a few days, and I'm sure some more will come in. I just want to thank everybody for being kind to Chris. Your money's well spent, and I just want to say God bless y'all and thank you on Chris's behalf, and Chris will be thanking y'all too when he gets a chance.
Well, and that's that. You hit the nail on the head there. That guy is just, they don't make him like Chris Adams.
No, he's a phenomenal young man, and he just, he blows me away with his, the things he knows and the things he does and his eagerness to learn. Yeah. I mean, my goodness.
I thought you said he bugs you away, and I thought, it blows you away.
Blows me away. It does. It's mind-boggling at the tasks he takes on because he loves our culture and he loves his state and its history and the people and the folk ways. And that's what he's committed to keeping old livestock and varieties of plants and things alive, the old ways of doing things, the old customs, the way to speak, dress, all the things that have fallen by the wayside for the most part. He's keeping them alive.
That's right. And so what you were going to say to add on to this is that, Chris, if you're listening tonight, this money cannot be spent on a gasoline or diesel-powered vehicle. It's all for horse and buggy.
It's got to be a mule.
Yeah, it got to be a mule and a wagon. Here we go.
Or a yoke of oxen, maybe.
That's right. Well, listen, we joke, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he showed up to the gathering on one.
It would not surprise me. It would not.
I was poking around the dirt mall the other night, by the way, and I saw a framed picture of the goat man.
You were where?
I was at the dirt mall, the junk store.
I never heard of the dirt mall.
I was at the dirt mall, and I saw a framed picture of the goat.
Did you buy it?
No, I didn't buy it. It didn't have a price tag on it, so I assumed it was just sort of, there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know the goat man pretty well?
I didn't know him well. I saw him several times, and was a kid. When he would be coming by our house out there, we lived on Highway 80 out of Swainsboro then, and saw him, I think, 3 or 4 times, and he would come by just about every year. And word would get there ahead of time, and we would know the goat man was coming. And Daddy would always – he didn't really want him stopping in front of the house. So he would take us – when he was about 2 miles up the road, he would drive us down there to see the goat man, and we would take him Coca-Colas and snacks and things for his goats and stuff, and he was always so kind and took up time with us. And then when he got to our house, he'd be like, "All right, y'all stay inside till he gets by. Now don't run out there and stop him," because Daddy just didn't like company, and he sure didn't want people, a pile of people stopping there. So
yeah, it's funny. You take the goat.
Just one of those little things that my my daddy was. He made his own rules in life, and that was one. Don't have the goat man over at your house. Just stop him. Take the kids up the road to see him.
Like the ice cream man back in the day. See,
Daddy was smart. He had ways.
How would he find out that the goat man was coming?
But he wouldn't take Waitley went by and then take us. You know, like when he was a couple miles further on, because we would be too antsy to stay in and not go out there when he came by. But if we had just been up the road, you know, a few hours before visiting with him, we could just stand on the porch or look out the window and watch him go by. And, like, you know, it was kind of anticlimax then. But yeah, the goat man, he was a unique individual. He had, if you've ever read his history, he was from, I can't remember if it was one of the Midwestern states, and he got married young to he was a knife thrower's assistant, married his the woman that threw knives at the carnival, you know, and they eventually he traded her.
So he wasn't, like what you're saying is, he wasn't a dentist.
No.
Like a professional. This is a guy that was married into the circus.
Yeah, he married a knife thrower and went to New York, I think. But I forget exactly how the story goes, but then he traded his wife for farm, I think. Then he got tired of, and yeah, he traded his wife to a guy for a farm, and then he had a son. He kept the boy, and then he couldn't make a go of it farming, so he hit the road with a goat, with a wagon pulled by goats, and
that was the end of that.
That, and he did that for like 60 years or more.
Did he ever? I wonder if he ever reunited with his wife.
No, he lived. He had a place up there on Highway 80 above Dublin, up around Jefferson, somewhere up there.
Yeah.
And a little shack by the road, a little piece of land, and that's where he would stay when he wasn't on the road. He when the weather was nice, he'd be on the road. But as he got older, then he was in a nursing home, and he struck out one last time in his old age to see, I think it was Farrah Fawcett going to Hollywood. He then fell in love with her, asked her to marry him, and he got beat up or something and robbed on the way, and that was his last attempt at.
Wow. Well, there you go. The goat man story. The goat man. I love the goat man. I first found out about the goat man, you know, after moving to Georgia. Nobody knows about the goat man.
Yeah. Well, if he went to all the contiguous states, so he was well known by many people in many places, but no, he didn't get a lot of national media attention, but
yeah, he was a traveling preacher. McCartney.
Yeah, Chess McCartney. He always gave out religious tracts and asked you if you were saved. And he was just a kind man, and very eccentric, of course, or he wouldn't have been a goat man. But
it doesn't say anything in here about him trading his wife for a farm. But
he did. He traded her. I believe traded her for a farm. I think that's right. Wow. He wasn't a hard worker. That's why he stayed on the road doing what he did. He didn't like working for a living. I think a tree fell on him when he was young, and they gave him up for dead, took him to a funeral home. He woke up and left, got up and left the funeral home. But he had a very colorful life, and was an amazing character. He really was.
It says here in 1985, by the way, this is it says his final journey, he set out to meet Morgan Fairchild.
Morgan Fairchild, not Fairfield. Yeah. There you go.
Who he wanted to marry. And en route to California, he was mugged and hospitalized and came back for good in 1987.
That's right.
And lived in a nursing home in Macon where he died at the age of 97. Wow. In 1998.
Yeah, there was a long time. People would mention the goat man. They said, well, he'd been dead. No, he's still alive. He'd be, like I say, lived to be 97. So, yeah, he was around a long time.
Wow.
Now, let's jump over to another topic here. You know, sometimes on Georgia Folk and Farm Life, I like to have a little poke, a little fun, a jerk change. Some of you may not know that, but that was a joke. And I posted a while ago, just having fun, I posted, I found a picture of almost a burnt steak covered in ketchup. And I said, it amazes me at the number of people who think it is somehow wrong to put ketchup on a very well-done steak. If you spend an hour or more baking a top-dollar steak, why not put the crowning touch on it, some good store-brand ketchup? That, I would me being facetious, but so do you know how many people get riled up and do not realize I'm being humorous? And I hope them meats boys realize it because I sure I don't want to alienate our sponsor. They're too. So I really shouldn't.
Have they already piled on there?
It started. Yeah, it's already 24 comments already.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Or more.
Let's take a break and then come back.
I'll read a few of those comments.
All right.
Before I have Wade's, to post down.
stirring up the pudding. Here we go.
Georgia Radio. Good company and great country.
Enjoying the country music.
Hi, this is Wade Peebles from Georgia Folk and Farm Life Radio. I'm here to tell you about Meeks Brothers Cattle Company. And you don't have to worry about supply chain issues or where your beef comes from. Do what I do and call Meeks Brothers Cattle Company today. You can get a whole, half, a quarter, any amount of beef you want. Good quality beef. Vacuum packed. Lasts up to 3 years in your freezer. It's grass-fed, grain-finished, made to order. Visit Meeks Brothers Cattle Company on Facebook today and tell them Brother Wade sent you. And that's Meeks Brothers Cattle Company. Thank you.
I know you can hear me, and so can your customers. Lots of people don't take kids seriously, but listen up. Advertising on Georgia Radio is seriously easy and affordable. Visit georgiaradio.com/advertise or, better yet, call the station. So let's talk. Your customers are listening, and so is my mom. Hi, Mom!
Georgia Radio. Good company and great country.
Enjoying the country music.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, we made it to the break, and we're back with you. This is Wade Peebles with Matt Jolly here on Georgia Radio with the Georgia Folk and Farm Life Radio Show. Matt, where'd our new spot go? I thought we...
We gotta get that one on. I don't know where it went.
I don't know.
Something happened.
Conway might have ate it.
Hey, give them the website. We've got it here. I'm going to pull that up because you can now buy directly off the Meeks Brothers website, which I think is pretty great. Meeks Brothers Cattle Company on Facebook.
If you want the best, they got it. They'll work with you on it to you.
Here it is, mbcbeef.com. So like Meeks Brothers, MB Cattle. That's Mike Bravo Charlie.
Yeah.
Mike Bravo Charlie. MBC.
And you know, several Beef. People around Cot just said, they ain't them Meeks boys' name. They ain't Mike and Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just full of stirring tonight. Stirring the
pilot,
pot.
Little airplane pilot.
Yeah.
Lingo there.
Hey, by the way, today there was my buddy Ray flew over the top of our house in the barn out there at the farm. He flew over in a P-51 Mustang today.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
I sent him a picture, and he said, "Can't sneak up on anybody anymore."
Man, that's that's a great aircraft.
It's not his, but it's a nice airplane. So beautiful airplane.
So he's an airplane thief.
He is. If Ray can get it started, Ray's going to fly it.
You know, there was a case a few years ago where that young guy didn't know how to fly a plane, but he stole a plane.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh yeah.
You remember that?
Oh yeah. The barefoot. Bandit or whatever they call it.
Yeah, barefoot bandit.
I got to share something before you share this story about, before you read this this doodad. I was talking to Doc Holt today, my gunsmith. I can't hit anything with a gun, but I like to have them in good working order, you know, anyway. So Doc Holt came over and he was looking at some old stuff that I was showing him. And he looks right at me today and he goes, "You know, Matt, when somebody dies, they don't know. They don't know all of the pain is felt by those around them." And I kind of nodded my head, and he goes, "It's the same way being stupid." And then he just picks the gun up and keeps looking at it. I thought, well, if that's
was
not
he,
like a...
And was he, this, it was an inference about you or what?
I didn't ask.
I didn't want to ask,
but I thought, that is a, if there was ever a Wade Peeblesism, that's that, you know? Yeah. Nobody. Like that. Yeah. Death and being stupid.
But you see, when people like me, we say things like that, it makes perfect sense to us.
Yeah, it made perfect sense to him, too.
And that's why we look bewildered when people have that, you know, that dazed stare in their eyes. Like,
right.
Yeah.
All right, read some of the comments, because you were stirring the pot tonight.
Yeah, let's see if I... yeah, it's already 43 on there.
40. There were just 24 a few minutes ago.
Yeah, it's going...
All right, it's all taking right, off. It's taking off. Stop
reading glasses on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, bear with me here. Dean Bennett says, very well done. You might as well chew on your boot.
Yeah. Ketchup.
Joe Brinson says, it's never wrong to put ketchup on a well-done baked for an hour steak. It's mandatory. Yeah. In other words, it ain't way hurting a thing. Yeah. If you, Glenn Walsh says, if you're cooking it to shoe done, ketchup makes sense.
Right. It kind of looks like mom's old meatloaf, you know, with the ketchup on the top of it. But it's laying on its side. Yeah.
Right. Roger Marchant says, it's just wrong to cook a well-done steak. Just put shoe polish on it. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well-done steak. I like a little crisp on the top, but I don't like it all the way through.
But when you said Chris and the steak makes me think of Ruth's Chris steakhouses. Have you ever been to one?
Oh, yeah, I have been.
I never have, but
I've been
a friend of mine and his wife and two kids, they went to a Ruth's Chris. I don't remember where, but, you know.
And the guy traded his wife and the kids for the steak. Is that what you're going to tell me now? That's where this is going. I know it's the whole show.
So, no, he told his son was, he was just a big, you know, maybe grade or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he was in that stage where they only eat, you know, chicken finger, chicken tenders, you know.
Right.
And most boys these days go through that stage. And so he told them, the whole family, you know, I don't mind paying whatever it costs. We're here to have a good meal. Just order whatever you want. Everybody ordered steak, but the boy, he asked the waitress, said, do you have chicken fingers? And they were like, so he ordered chicken fingers, and they were like $40-something.
For chicken fingers at Ruth's Chris. Yeah.
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 You know, there. I think about places that my daddy didn't mind spending money within reason on food. He loved to eat out. But I remember the Dillard House. Dillard House up at Clayton. And it's a very nice restaurant. Been there a long time. It's kind of an iconic institution up there. But Daddy and he had my youngest stepbrother, Jared, with him one time. And they went up there and to the mountains and they stopped at Dillard House. And my daddy could not get over the prices there. It boggled his mind to anybody. There's enough people ate there and paid those prices to be in business that long, you know?
And they're still in business, probably.
Oh, yeah, they still are.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the most expensive meal you've ever eaten out?
Probably at the Spanish Steps at the, I think it was a Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas. It's not there now, but up at the top of the tower, there was, they had two restaurants that basically, they had a big space in between them, but they shared a kitchen and staff. And there was only, I think, about four tables in each one. And there was about a dozen people working, you know, waiting on you. And I remember, you know, the guy standing, we're rural Georgia people don't take well sometimes to people waiting on us, and you know, so we had water and wine glasses and water and all this, and there was a guy standing over my shoulder with a white towel over his arm and a pitcher of ice water in the other hand, and every time we'd take a sip of water, he'd refill your glass, and I'm like, I was raised right. I hate to keep this guy working, so I would say I wanted something to drink, but I wouldn't drink because I hate to keep bothering him, you know, but. He was getting well paid, believe me.
Oh, I'm sure
when
he was.
When we left and paid the bill, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I should have worked him a little harder.
Yeah.
I should have kept all much busier than we did. But
he was a great meal, well paid.
If you go to a place and they got four small tables and about 15 or 20 people working there, it's going to cost you. But it was very good. I remember I had a paella. And it was very good, but I'm just, I'll go to KFC and be happy.
The brown bag is our
kind of place. We used to eat well. We used to go to Las Vegas a lot, and Tony Bellamy, Tony was been a lifelong friend of mine. We were out there one time, and Tony didn't know it, but at the time he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was 18 years old. And he hadn't been diagnosed yet, and he had been losing weight, and he was just kind of feeling puny because he had cancer and didn't know it. And we went to the, I can't remember which, it's a wonderful buffet. I mean, it was just row upon row of steam tables, and it was, there'd be like Italian in this area, seafood, German, different. And they had so much food, it was amazing. And Tony, I'm just piling on. I'm a fat boy. I'm having a good time. I'm just piling on my plate. And Tony just picks like a spoonful of baked beans and puts on his plate. And he has to go sit down. I said, Tony, that's all you're getting? I was outraged, And I said, is that all you're getting? I said, you can eat pork and beans when you get home. Well, Tony did not appreciate me.
Yeah.
Reprimanding him in front of a bunch of people like that, but we laughed about it later. Then he found out, of course, that he had cancer, and he took chemo, and that was probably 50 years ago, not 45 years ago. So,
have you been back to the buffet to let him make up for it yet?
I did.
Yeah, good for you.
But you came. Well, we would. I mentioned this week. I would go with my neighbors there on vacations. We'd go to Las Vegas in February for a week, and then Daytona a week in the summer. And we did eat at a lot of nice places. But as soon as we got back, my friend there, his dad would make a huge pot of vegetable soup because we were starved for just some good old plain country cooking.
Yeah, country cooking.
We could eat about 10 gallons of that soup in a day. So we got back. So, rich food and rich, fine dining is nice, but I'd rather just sit down to a good feed somewhere, at a seafood buffet or a local place.
Good slop trough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like we got to eat at the brown bag again.
That was fun. Pushy Gap might not be there, but.
No, it's a little cold for Pushy Gap. We need to go back and sit down and.
Yeah, they good people, good food. If those that don't know, is the Brown Bag Cafe is a small little takeout place there in Twin City, and they really do have some good food and good folks.
Our batting average is pretty good still. I did notice that one restaurant, the place we ate at in Twin City the other day, burned. It looks like
Had
a fire.
The Brown Bag is in Twin City too, but Lou's Barbecue, and that was sad. It's a local institution. A log truck driver who I know. Had a load of logs loaded too high, and when he came through Twin City, it caught a power line, broke the pole down, and the lines fell on Lou's Barbecue and
set burned fire. It up.
Burned it up. Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Hand of God kind of stuff there.
Yep.
Well.
I want to mention that my voice, the reason we didn't do the show the last couple of weeks, most of you might realize my voice is getting very weak and I'm hoarse, and that's why we do it. But I wasn't about to miss another night, and so even though I sound gravelly voiced and I don't have the volume I usually have, I sure am glad to be on here with y'all.
Well, we're just glad to have you, Brother Wade. It's almost time to go anyway. You want to tell them about Meeks Brothers Cattle Company again? You can go online to MBC Beef, Meeks Brothers Cattle, and get some of that delicious Meeks Brothers cattle right there, the beef.
It's good. They raise their own beef and they pamper them and take care of them. And it turns out some the finest beef you could ask for.
It is premium local beef right there. You can call Thomas, Joshua, or Matthew. MBC, and then the word beef, MBC beef, and get you some of that good old Meeks Brothers Cattle Company
don't
beef.
Come no better. It don't come no better.
Conway even likes it. He's converted.
Yeah, he is.
He has converted. Is he going to be there at the gathering?
Yeah, I don't know how much time he'll spend. He gets nervous around crowds. You remember last time when he brought him to the sanctuary?
Yeah.
He peed, you know.
He made a deposit, made an offering.
Yes, he did.
Well, that's okay. He's not a baby anymore. He's full grown.
He's a baby.
He's full grown. I hate to break it to you.
He's always going to be a baby.
He's like that little, you know, 6'5" dumpling of a kid that grandma still thinks is a baby.
Conway is a baby and will always be a baby.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yep. That is a full-grown dog now, Wade Peebles, but he is cute. He'll be there. We'll have a good time.
He'll be there.
Here I am picking on Conway in your moment of need with your gravelly voice. If y'all want to give Wade a call, you can call him at his other job, 1-900-BIG-WADE.
Yeah.
Get you right on there. There you go.
I'll give you a Norwegian scripture to ponder.
Good night, Wade.
Good night. Thank y'all for joining us tonight. We'll see you next time.
Georgia Radio. Good company and great country.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.